Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, it's another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, and we've got a great show on the way for you today. One of our mailbag editions of the program, where we are going to be covering some additional questions that we teased about when we were talking about financial New Year's resolutions in a previous episode. And David, this should be a lot of fun to dive into. I know you love answering these questions from listeners.
I do. I love this. And I've had a really good response from those two-part series. Some in-person conversations I've had with existing clients, and then some with things that got emailed to us. So I think we've identified three really interesting questions, and hopefully it's interesting to our listeners.
Three good ones we're going to propose to David on the show today and give you some solutions and ideas and ways to think about these kinds of questions, just in case you're going into or through something similar in your financial life. If you ever want to get in touch with David and ask him some of the questions that are on your mind, we don't have to make those public on the show. You can just talk those out anytime you like. Just email him, ddickens@kcfa.com or coveryourassetskc.com, your place to go to ask those questions. Or you can call the phone number, you know, David and the team at KC Financial Advisors, and we'll give you all the full contact info at the end of the show, and it's also in the show notes. As a starting point today, David, let's go into Carl's question from Lawrence. Carl says, I listened to your Financial New Year's Resolutions podcast, and I have a question about my credit cards. I kind of lost track of things over the past couple of years and now have about $30,000 in credit card balances. I have a good job and contribute to my 401k at work every 2 weeks. Can you help me with a plan?
Okay, Carl. Well, that is a bummer.
I guess it's a matter of perspective, but $30K in credit card debt could be viewed as a lot by some.
That's a lot. Based on what I've seen over my years of doing this, when you get $30,000 racked up in credit card bills, credit cards are termites to your financial plan. And you know, if you have termites in your house, you don't necessarily see them eating away at your foundation. But once the damage is done, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, how did I not see that? And why didn't I do something about it? So Carl, the first thing I would tell you is that when I see people with credit card debt, what that is evidence of is that they're living above their means. They have more expenses, they bought more stuff than they had income to cover it. And so your $30,000 in credit card debt is going to take some real hard work, but it's very doable. So let me give you five different steps that I think will help you get to where you want to be, which is credit card debt free. So I don't know the interest rate you're being charged on that, but I'll bet it's pretty high, because typically those are somewhere between 15% and 25%. And if you ever miss a payment, all of a sudden it goes to a penalty rate of 25 or higher percent. So the first thing you want to do, Carl, is stop using those credit cards. Now, you know, you might say, well, I get miles for this and I get points for that. Nope, those do not pay. The benefit you get for those is not in any way close to the amount of cost you're paying for those. So you need to stop using them only for a true emergency. If you have a true emergency, okay, then you got to do it again.
But I know it depends on the card, David, obviously, but for general perspective, if we're talking about something that's like 1%, to save up and get $1,000 worth of points means you're spending $100,000 out of your pocket to earn that $1,000. It takes a lot of work to get those kickbacks and those benefits and those kinds of things.
It does, and free just sounds so good. And sometimes I've seen clients, non-clients, who for good reason got into like a 0% deal that they got for a year, but they didn't chip away at it over that year, and they got to the end of the year, and it's this big amount of money that all of a sudden is going up in rate significantly. So there are a lot of ways to get into credit card problems, but the first step to getting out of them is stop using them. The second thing is, so Carl mentioned that he's contributing to his 401k at work. Carl, I would strongly recommend that you stop making your 401k contribution until we solve this credit card problem. The caveat there is, let's say your company offers a match. You put in 3% of your salary, they match it. Well, you want to keep getting that match. But once you've gotten the match, you don't want to put another penny into that 401k until your credit card debt is gone. I'll tell you why in just a couple minutes. The next thing you want to do is make sure that you make all of your minimum payments. Let's say that this credit card debt is in three or four different cards. You have to make sure that every month you make at least the minimum payment on every one of those cards. Otherwise, penalty rates and penalty fees start building up, which exacerbates your problem. The fourth thing I want you to do is to line up all those credit card statements from lowest interest rate to highest interest rate. And once you identify which card has the highest interest rate, you're going to make minimum payments on all the others, and you're going to make extra payments on that highest credit card bill until it's gone. Well, Dave, how do I do that? I don't have extra income. Well, here's maybe the toughest part. You've got to look through all your expenses and figure out where am I living above my means and what can I do without until I get these credit cards down to zero. So that is the hardest part about being alive, is making sure that you don't live above your means, that expenses aren't bigger than your income. So that's the real hard work involved here, Carl. Why is this important? So here I'm going to throw a few numbers at you, but this is why it's so important. You didn't mention the interest rates you're paying. But average, once you're in credit card debt, is probably about 20% interest. Your statement shows you that every month. So $30,000 of debt at 20% interest is $6,000 every year of interest. You pay that before you reduce a penny of principal. The $30,000 doesn't go away until you pay the $6,000 of interest. So you say you have a good job. Maybe you make, let's just say, $70,000 a year. Well, you and I, when you look at your take-home pay, you know that you're not getting $70,000. You're probably getting about $56,000, I'm going to say, because 20% of that is going to taxes in some way. So security taxes, federal taxes, state taxes. So your take-home pay is $56,000. That's what you get to do anything you want with it. But the credit card company is saying, whoa, 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 the first $6,000, the first 11% of what you make is ours. So you're sending 20% off to the government. And because of overspending, you're sending another 11% off to a bank who does not need your money. You need that money. So that's why I refer to it as termites. You have $6,000 worth of termite damage every year. So getting rid of that credit card debt is job number one. And depending on your income and your expenses, I don't know how long that will take you, but you got to have a plan in place and you have to stick to that plan and make sure that you don't overspend. Super, super important. If you want to get to your retirement goals, you have to reduce credit card debt to zero. So it's a super question. I see, and just read the statistics in America, you see a lot of people who have credit card debt, and it's insidious. It is super detrimental to your financial health, and you have to get rid of it. So, Carl, best of luck to you. One more thing, if you're having trouble figuring out, well, what are those expenses, and how do I get my financial house in order? I'm not a huge Dave Ramsey fan. He says some stuff that is whacked out there. But his basics, the first, I think it's maybe a 10-step process. You go to 10 different classes. The first three or four or five are really good about getting your own financial house in order. And one thing he is zeroed in on is not having credit card debt. And so, you know what, if that's offered somewhere in Lawrence, at your church, maybe some community organization, I'd encourage you to sign up for that, take that class, take it to heart, and go through my five steps of getting rid of that credit card debt as soon as you possibly can.
I remember when my wife and I got married, we didn't have much in the way of credit card debt or anything like that. Had never really struggled with debt problems. I love getting out of debt. I got out of my school loans as fast as I possibly could. I joke sometimes that I like taking on debt just so I can, pay it off quickly, because it just feels so good to, watch that balance come down as fast as you can make it. It's like a game in my brain, if you will. So now that she's graduated from grad school, it's kind of fun going through that same experiment again. I know that probably makes me a little bit weird, but but I do remember after we got married, when you get married, a lot of expenses were happening, and you've got so much going on in life, and you're trying to make everybody happy that, just with everything that had been happening and, moving into a new home, we were starting to to use the credit card for a few more things, and we saw that amount start to slip up a little bit. And then you take a break for a month or two on, you know, trying to pay those balances down, and then all of a sudden you're carrying that balance. So, and I'm sure everybody's got a story that's similar to that. And we, I think your recommendation, and it's in line with, you know, I think what Dave talks about in his things, is you got to stop continuing to put things on the credit card if you want to get those balances down. And that certainly really helped us. Otherwise, you're just in that boat that's got a major leak in it, and you're bailing out water, and more water is just pouring right through. That's the same thing that happens with that debt. Even if you're paying down on it, if you continue to not fix the leak and stop the leak, you're not going to be able to, you know, bail out the water in the boat, and you're still going to be sinking. So that was a really big helpful thing for us at the time, and I hope that, you know, other people will realize the power in, it's hard to do, cut those credit cards up, or, you know, put them somewhere that we can't reach them, because, you know, I've always heard Dave Ramsey say that, David, with the, you know, cut the credit cards up. And I'm like, that wouldn't help me much. I rarely actually scan the credit card. It's online. It's hooked up to everything.
Yeah, well, you can change your Google settings for that, too.
That's right. That's right. You can disconnect some things.
Yes. Walter, when I used the word insidious about 5 minutes ago, but it has become so easy. That part of our culture, the bank and Google, have made it so convenient to use those mm-hmm. cards that get you into trouble if you're not careful. So you have to be smart with your money. Everybody, all of us that are talking and listening today, we have to be smart with our money because nobody else is really watching it for us. So, you know, you get a chance to grab a hold of the wheel and drive your financial car anywhere you want, but you are going to have a very hard time getting there when you're dragging along a bunch of credit card debt behind you.
Very true. Carl, great question. Thank you for sending that one into us. And if you're struggling with debt and how to reconcile that while also trying to prepare for retirement and your financial future, don't hesitate to reach out to David Dickens if you've got a question. 913-317-1414 is the number. And always, you can find David online at coveryourassetskc.com. Now, not all of our topics are about getting out of debt. We're covering a lot of ground today, as all of these questions sort of stem from our Financial New Year's Resolutions podcast, and you know, it was a wide-ranging one as well. Bill in Overland Park has our next question, and he says, "My net worth didn't grow last year, David. Should I be concerned about my retirement?"
Yeah, so Bill's actually a client of mine. Bill's not his name, but we did have this conversation.
We've changed details to protect the innocent.
Exactly. We did have this conversation. And so I thought it was super important because for two reasons. First of all, congrats to Bill for knowing that it didn't grow last year. And all that means to me is he's actually calculating this.
He must have done his net worth statement.
Exactly. He prepared it. And since he knows it didn't grow, he did one last year too. So I say, first of all, if you're a listener and you know what happened last year, congratulations, because now you've got at least 2 years of track record, maybe 10 years. I've got 30 years of track record. It is gratifying to see the path. It's not always upward, but hopefully most every year is upward. So first of all, Bill, congrats on knowing where you are. The next thing you want to do is say, well, why didn't it grow? And that's going to be pretty easy to figure out now that you're calculating. Possible answers. Well, maybe your investments or your 401k balance declined, but the market was up in 2020. And we all probably remember it was down dramatically in February and March of last year. So maybe, Bill, you sold in March because you were afraid. Because the unknown is can be kind of scary, especially when your money, especially if you're in your 50s or 60s and you say, hey, I need this money. So maybe you sold at the exact wrong time emotionally. And that's probably happens in my experience when you're over allocated to risk assets. You got too much stock and then the market drops 34% like it did in 4 weeks last year. And all of a sudden you're, let's just for round numbers, say your $1 million turned into $650,000, and you're like, oh my gosh. So make sure that you know how much risk you're taking and that you don't make poor investment choices because you're overextended, overallocated the stocks. That's one possible answer. Maybe your investments went down. Maybe you're retired. I know Bill's situation, but I'm thinking of other listeners. Maybe you're retired and you spent more on your living expenses than your investments earned. And that's a one way in retirement that your net worth might actually go down. And that's totally okay. And it's very normal for a lot of retirees. But it's not so good if you're spending way above your retirement budget. So that's a question you would have to look and say, my bank balance is down, my 401k balance is down, and I just spent it. But that's why I saved that money up. So that's okay. If you're overspending such that you won't have enough assets to last to your 90th or 95th birthday, that's probably not okay. That's when you want to go back to your plan and make sure that you're spending is still a fit. And then I've talked to people who lost their jobs in 2020 and they've been out of work for 6 months. And so, and they didn't reduce their spending because they thought, well, this is going to be temporary and I'm, you know, for whatever reason. So in that situation, their bank balance went down. They were just using it to spend money on. Well, that's totally understandable too and easily identifiable in your net worth statement. And that's probably a very temporary situation. So nope, wouldn't be particularly concerned about that. And by now, you've probably gotten a new job and you've gotten things back on track. So whatever the reason, looking at that net worth statement, that's one of the reasons why we do it. One reason is we like to have positive momentum because it kind of feeds the energy. You were talking in the last question about feeding the energy for getting those credit card balances down. When you see your net worth grow every year, it kind of gets into your brain, this is a good thing for me and my family, and it gives you some forward momentum. So now that we have 1 or 2 or 3 or 10 years worth of net worth statements, in that unusual year, when your net worth does go down, it's pretty easy to pull out that last year statement and say, did my assets go down in value? Maybe my bank balance went down, my 401k balance went down. Maybe my house went down in value, or my business is worth less this year than it was last year. Or did my liabilities go up? I took on credit card debt or something else. But once you have those statements in place, pretty simple to figure out what caused the difference. And then you can internalize it for yourself. Am I good with that? And if you're good with that because your net worth went down for understandable and short-term reasons, okay. If they went down and you didn't notice it until it was after the fact, probably not so good, and you'll quickly be able to figure out what do I need to do to make sure that doesn't happen 2 years in a row.
Either way, the net worth statement can be a motivator, whether it's a little lower than the previous year, motivate you to get back to what you were before, or you know, make any necessary changes, or just help you explore the question of why did it drop, or if it's increased, it's a motivator to keep on going and keep it heading and trending in that direction. So
exactly. If it doesn't get measured, it doesn't get counted, and it doesn't get fixed. So this annual net worth statement is a really good measure for yourself to demonstrate to yourself, all right, I'm on track.
Very good use of your time to put that net worth statement together. And if you want to learn more about net worth statements and how to put those together, you can check out some of our past podcasts. We've talked about it a couple of different times over the last several weeks, and we certainly encourage you to go search out and find those different episodes where you can learn a little bit more about putting together your own net worth statement. And reach out to David if you want to talk a little bit more in detail about that with him. 913-317-1414 is the number, or coveryourassetskc.com. All right, one more mailbag question for this episode, David. It comes to us from Rick in Liberty. Rick says, I'm 32 and single, and I have a good paying job, but I haven't started saving for retirement yet. I don't have a 401k at work, which is okay, since I don't seem to have money left over by the time my next paycheck arrives. Am I behind?
Oh, Rick, that is a really good question. I'm glad you're 32 and asking that question. So I think the blunt answer is, yeah, you're falling behind every day that you don't start saving for retirement. But let's dig in a little bit. I look back, I think two of those New Year's resolutions are principles that relate here. The first was, I think it might have been number 4, it was save as much as you can, as early as you can. And the second one was save first, pay yourself first, and do it systematically. So let me break those two down. I'm going to start with the second one. You say that you have no 401k, and that's not a problem. But what you do want to do is establish an IRA or a Roth IRA for yourself outside of work. You can do that real easily with TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or Schwab. Those are really the three big custodians that are going to allow you to do that super inexpensively for yourself. And then, Rick, you probably know that every year you can contribute into those accounts up to $6,000, $500 a month. And so the other thing is, if you wait till the end of the month and try to come up with $500, there's, you already said in your question, there's really no money left over. So you have to pay yourself first. That $500, maybe it's $250 a paycheck. Maybe you say, Dave, I can't cut expenses enough to do that. Okay, then instead of $250 a paycheck, do $200 a paycheck, or $150 a paycheck, or even $100 a paycheck. But make sure that that custodian, TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or Schwab, you set it up so that they go get that money automatically out of your checking account 2 days after payday, whatever works for you. But make sure that they do it automatically, because if it's up to you to write a check, that's very unlikely to happen 24 times next year, twice a month. So you want to automate that. And the next time you get a raise and you're only able to do $100 a month, $100 a week, every 2 weeks, maybe you increase that to $150. Part of your raise goes to feathering your own retirement nest instead of expenses, entertainment, whatever it is that sucks up that money out of your checking account. You got to make sure that you're preparing for that day in the future, which now seems like a long way away at age 32. Why is that important? Well, I'll throw some numbers at you, which I'm pretty sure I use these exact same numbers on the New Year's Resolutions podcast. But $500 a month, the maximum, $6,000 a year. Let's just say that that money grows at 7% annually. And let's say that you're planning to retire at 65. If you start that at age 45, if you say, man, I got so many expenses, I just can't afford to put any money away yet, but I'm going to do it at some point, and you wait till you're 45, that's 20 years of putting that money away, and that's going to end up being $260,000 in retirement. If you start 10 years early at age 35, that's going to be, instead of $260,000, that's going to be $610,000 you're going to have in retirement when you get to be 65. But Rick, here's the payoff pitch for you. If you had started at 25, at age 25, just putting away that, living below your means, putting that money away for yourself in your future, you wouldn't have the $260,000. You wouldn't have the $610,000. You'd have $1.3 million. So what you can see real quickly is that time is super important to having that money invested for your future. And with every 5 or 10 years that clicks off, the amount you're going to have in retirement is going to be significantly less. So, Rick, you're probably not counting on Social Security to be your entire retirement income. And chances are pretty good your company is not offering a pension, because most don't these days. So what you're really going to rely on is Social Security and you. And the time to start relying to building your reliance on you is right now at age 32. So action steps, open an IRA or a Roth. Start contributing every 2 weeks. And every time you get a raise, increase that a little bit. Rick, you're going to be super happy when you're 55 and 60 and 65. You're going to be super happy that you started doing that at 32.
Yep, the earlier the better. And the beauty of compound interest, a little bit of patience, a little bit of discipline goes such a long way. And you're great to be asking that question now at 32. Rather than 42 or 52, Rick, or even worse, 62. Yeah, it gets, the longer you wait, the more too late it becomes. But at the same time, it's never too late to get started and get going and make the right decisions, and saving for your future certainly falls into that category. So another great question. If you have any questions for David, want to walk through your particular situation, you can get a complete planning review done. It's the CPR process that David and his team love walking clients through to help get a full view of their financial and retirement picture. And if you'd like to get in touch, here's how to do it. You can pick up the phone and call 913-317-1414 and see if getting a CPR is a good move for you. 913-317-1414 or online at coveryourassetskc.com. And we'll put all the contact information and links in the show notes of today's episode, so it's easy for you to find. David, really appreciate the help and the guidance on the program today, and look forward to another good show with you next week.
Yeah, me too. I think we're talking about various types of risk next week. And since the market, you know, has been going up a lot ever since the bottom last March, it's really a good time, I think, right now to figure out, what do I know about risk and what am I doing about it? So we'll look forward to that. I'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it as well. Yep, market risk is certainly on the list, but there's other types of risk to know about as well. David's going to get us the full lowdown on that coming up on the next program. So come back and join us next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.